You're listening to TalkTainmentRadio.com on WCRS FM 98.3 and 102.1, Central Ohio's only community radio station, a service of the Neighborhood Network and TalkTainmentRadio.com.
The views and opinions expressed are those of the host and guest and not necessarily those of TalkTainmentRadio.com, the management, the staff, or KNE World Network, LLC.
This is Men Speak, about issues dealing directly with black males. Heard exclusively on the world's greatest radio, TalkTainmentRadio.com. Radio the way it should be heard. I'm Kamari O'Dye.
And I'm Richard Lundy.
TalkTainmentRadio.com, we're the world's greatest radio. Radio the way it should be heard. Welcome to Men Speak, where we speak on those issues that directly impact African-American males. And we listen to what you, my friend, have to say. I am your host, Kamari O'Dye, along with my brother,
Richard Lundy.
Another great show lined up. And we want to hear from our listening audience. Big shout out to Youngstown, Ohio, where they're tuning in on WASN AM. And our local listeners checking us out on WCRS FM. To get in on the conversation, just call this number, 1-877-932-9766. That's 1-877-932-9766. And as always, we like to start out with some words of wisdom. Check this out. It's entitled, "Hey, Dummy, standing on a corner, selling drugs, buying a cap from some thugs, needle in your arm, filled with dope, might as well put your neck in a rope, lying to people to get a hit. Minutes later, you're having a fit. So you sold your body, and you just got paid. Now you wonder how you got AIDS. Can't you see how ugly you look? Soon to get your picture in a mug book. Your clothes are dirty. You go around stinking. Your head is so bald. I can see what you're thinking. You run from corner to corner all day and night, begging for a cap to smoke, the glass pipe. You sold your TV and you sold your rack. You'd sell your life if you could get it back. People used to like you, but now they know you're just a chicken-headed looking for some blow. A chicken head looking for some blow." Oh my goodness. Brother, you laid it. This is one of the best ones we've had. Oh my goodness. That makes it plain, brother.
Hey, that's what we want to do.
Oh man. Woo. And with that, here is the news. Amended the U.S. Constitution, the political rarity that's suddenly in vogue. From Bernie Sanders on the left to Ted Cruz on the right, seven of the eight politicians who have declared they are running for the White House have supported the passage of a constitutional amendment. Now, many of the other 2016 contenders have proposed this extreme legal option, along with a half a dozen congressmen, current President Barack Obama, dozens of states, and some 600 city councils and county boards, to mention a few. Some Democrats, such as Senator Sanders and Hillary Clinton, have voiced support for an amendment to address the power of big money in national politics by reversing the Supreme Court decision that removed campaign finance limits. Mike Huckabee and Ben Carson are back in the Republican campaign for a balanced budget amendment. Now, when's the last time we had one? That would stop Congress from racking up the national debt. Rand Paul wants to curb limits on lawmakers' tenure in office, which is a good thing. And boy wonders, Mark Rubio and Ted Cruz both support amendments to challenge gay marriages and the Affordable Health Care Act. The U.S. Constitution has only been amended 27 times since 1787, and the most recent change in 1992, which instituted limiting the ability of lawmakers to set their own salaries. Now that sounds about right. The process for amending the Constitution requires the agreement of two-thirds of both the Senate and the House, three-quarters of the state legislatures. Now, some would agree that the Constitution is the most appropriate vehicle to tackle the problem of regulating campaign spending. Once dismissed as somewhat idealistic, such views are increasingly mainstream among both Democrats and Republicans. Now, no one's suggesting a new Constitution, but it could happen. This might not be a bad idea for black folks. One supporter said, "It's time to take the molding and shaping of public policy out of corporate boardrooms, away from corporate lobbyists, and give it back to the American people." Now, you might want to ask the Congressional Black Caucus, where are they on this subject? In other news, Chief Justice Roberts' roadmap to campaign reform. Hint, hint, Last week, Chief Justice John Roberts deserted his conservative brethren, writing an opinion that offers Congress a roadmap for cleaning up campaign finance. Now, the case that has caused this ruckus was a case in Florida giving judges the right to preserve the impartiality of its judges. So what does this mean to us citizens? Florida had banned candidates from personally soliciting funds. In upholding the ban, the Chief Justice emphasized that judicial candidates had complete freedom to speak on any issue. They simply were barred from saying, "Please give me the money." Now, do you believe this? Justice Roberts avoided a power play stating the identity of the solicitor matters, as anyone who has sold or purchased Girl Scout cookies, personal involvement, he writes, creates the public appearance that the candidates will remember who says yes and who says no. Are we getting this, people? The Chief Justice distinguished between judges versus other elected officials. He said, politicians are expected to be appropriately responsive to their supporters, and then goes on to say that this is a clear blueprint for Congress to clean up its own act. Sounds a little like a double talk to me. As a first step, he goes on to say, it's important for us to expose the ugliness of political fundraising because people are not going to care if we continue to pretend like it isn't a big part of our lives. He says it's also important for the presidential candidates to turn up the heat on the congressional leadership of both parties during the 2016 election. You know what I think? I think we, the public, need to turn up the heat. A ban on personal solicitation would certainly generate litigation, but it would give the Supreme Court another chance to modify the assertions of proponents for financial reform to fit the grim facts of political life in the real world. And finally, in the news, did this slip by you guys? Mexico luring new auto plants. Mexico has become the most attractive place in North America to build auto factories, a shift that is siphoning jobs from the United States. In the past 2 years, 8 automakers have opened or announced plants or expansions in Mexico. Are we paying attention? Toyota, Ford, Honda, they're opening up plants in Mexico. Honda opened a plant that builds the HR-V crossover. The $800 million assembly plant is Honda's 8th in North America. Toyota's new plant will create 2,000 jobs, while Ford's $2.5 billion investment will add another 3,000 jobs. So much for the American workforce, folks. Automakers have 18 factories in Mexico, most of them built in the past 10 years. So that's where all the jobs have gone. In the next 4 years, 5 more are to be built, moving Mexico from 7th to 5th in automobile production. The number of automaking jobs in Mexico has risen 38% since 2008, from 490,000 just last year alone. Low labor costs and fewer tariffs are the swing factors for automakers looking at Mexico. A worker there costs automakers about $6 an hour, 90 to 150 pesos, including wages. I can get this paper next. And benefits. And that compares with $55 an hour here in the United States for General Motors, and $38 at Volkswagen's factory in Tennessee. Now, how many of us knew this? This was the kind of money these guys are making. 2/3 of autos made in Mexico are sold in the United States. Mexico's automaking wages are now lower than pay in China to build autos for the U.S. market in Mexico. I don't know about you, but black folks are getting screwed on a number of levels. From Mexicans are flooding across the borders in record numbers. They are bankrupting social services. They are being touted as the largest minority group in America, which is really untrue. And the automobile industry has all but relocated into Mexico, according to the information you just received. Let us not forget, they also have one of the largest, most violent drug cartels in the world, right at the United States back door. Just a little something for us to ponder. And that's what's making news on this Tuesday, my brother. Whoa.
Hey, always
good. I know you got some
always
for us.
Always good news.
I know you got some
yes,
for us.
Yes, I certainly do. Child support. The new economic terrorism. Over the past 30 years, single-parent households have spiraled out of control. Today, over 70% of young African-American children are being reared in homes without fathers. For those who do not know this, it is a very serious problem in the black community. In fact, it is a challenge that has plagued our community for a very long time, and a problem that has been ignored by us, black folks and society in general. We hear the horror stories. We read about some poor brother being raked over the coals by the child support system. It's all over the media, but we have no idea of how devastating this illegal apparatus is in the black community. And there's no sense of urgency as far as we blacks are concerned to do anything about this act of terrorism. A recent study of county jails in South Carolina found that 1 out of 5 inmates was behind bars for failure to pay child support. So you tell me, how exactly does this help the child? You may recall just a couple of weeks ago when the brother was shot in the back when running away from the cops. The brother's name was Walter Scott. He was shot and killed as he ran away from the cops after being pulled over for a broken taillight. What most folks don't know was that he had already served time in jail for back child support. And because he was unable to find a job, got behind again, and the courts had issued a warrant for his arrest. The brother didn't want to go back to jail, y'all. So he ran. Some of you asked the question, why did the brother run? This is a classic example as to why. If you've never been in jail, then you don't know what goes on in that system and how you're treated in jail. Believe me, jail is no fun place to be. What are we going to do about this new form of terrorism being imposed on the black community? We must be educated on the nature of the beast. Most females feel it is their right thing to do when the father of her child does not pay child support. Get it right. I'm not suggesting in any way that men should not take care of their responsibilities for their children and that they should bring into this world. Brothers have to pay for their responsibilities. Let's be clear about that. However, the public needs to understand a few things about this system that was put in place to supposedly help protect the children who are the products of out-of-wedlock or divorce relationships. Sisters need to be educated on how this system really works. When you invite the terrorists into your family business, you have to realize that they have a standard set of procedures that they put in place. And no matter, the matter is no longer in your hands once they get involved. Everybody has an opinion on this. Believe me, I know that. This is not a problem that's going away anytime soon. But we do have options. The first thing we have to do is stop blaming one another. Stop being vindictive toward one another. Get rid of the guilt tripping of the other person. And get rid of all of the emotional drama that is attached to that. Here on Men Speak, where we take on those issues that directly affects black males, we want to host a series of shows on this subject because it has such a devastating impact on the black community. And we need to do something to help the thousands of young brothers out there who are suffering in silence. We're sharp enough, intelligent enough, and wise enough to take back our power and come up with a plan to make sure our children are being properly cared for with participation and the financial wherewithal to do it properly. We want to be the catalyst to get this thing started. So this is what we want to do this evening, folks.
Before that very insightful message, it is an excellent segue into the evening show, which is entitled Child Support, Economic Terrorism Against the Black Man. That's what makes this show a cut above the rest, folks. We tackle those issues that are impacting us right here, right now. And I have to admit, this is not a topic that I am familiar with, but one that I've heard lots of stories about. But our guests we have for this evening are well-versed on this subject, and I'm sure by the end of the show, we will have learned a lot about this child support system and how devastating it the impact it has on the black family. And with that, our guest for this evening will be one of our regulars on the show, Mr. Jim White, President of Performance Consulting Services, expert trainer. Hello, sir.
Evening.
Welcome. And a returning guest, we haven't talked to him in a long time, but he's still one of the powerful brothers in the community, Brother Asad Shabazz.
How are you, brothers?
Businessman, community organizer.
How are you?
Welcome back to Men Speak.
Yes, thank you.
And
so
we
much.
Welcome both of you to the show. Brother Lenny, it seems that we are armed and ready to go. And we'd like to give you the honors of setting up this evening's show.
Okay.
You can set it
thank
up for
you,
us.
Brother.
Yes,
thank
sir.
You. Welcome to the show, brothers.
Glad thank you, there, brother.
Thank you. Strong brothers in here to deal with this. This is a very sensitive issue, mm-hmm. but it's one that is very pressing in our community that we really need to put it out on the table and start talking about it because it has been devastating to so many families that people are not aware of it. The thing that I find interesting about it is a lot of people, if you're not involved in it or you don't have a relative involved in it, you don't know anything about it. So they don't know what goes on. So what people do is they hear, when they hear somebody say, oh, this guy, he's got kids out of wedlock or whatever, they immediately go to the negative, that this person is a no good father, he's not trying to be involved. And what I want to do tonight is we want to talk about this from the standpoint that not abdicating any responsibilities, having brothers try to abdicate responsibilities for what we do. We have to step up our game. That's clear. And we talk about that all the time on Men Speak. But what we want to do is hear a different side of the story and somebody that has gone through this process. And so the guest in the show this evening is going to help us do that. And what I, how I would like to start it out is to ask, I would say something about it, but I'm already a host on the show, but so I asked one of the guests. But, you know, like, you know, when we start thinking about that for other young brothers out there, what did you know about being a father prior to fathering your first child, brother Asad?
Well, I don't know how much I knew other than my mother raising me and giving me certain elements in my life that would help make me a good person. And I think it's interesting that you say that because most people, women too, there's no playbook when they have babies either.
That's right.
So what I think is very interesting is that I don't know. My grandfather wasn't really there a lot. He's in our lives, but he didn't do anything.
Right.
I met my father when I was very young, but I didn't have him in my life. And I started having him in my life when we were about 14. I cussed him out. He cussed me back out. And I fell in love with him. So you know, then I had a stepfather as well, but not really hands-on a lot, you know. But I didn't really have a lot in regards to knowledge, you know, like you do this or you do that, other than my mom teaching me.
Right.
But the thing that I was armed with was love. And so that right there made me to seek information that would help me to raise my daughter at that time and then consequently my children. And so I didn't really have a playbook. But you know, because I talk about this quite often, and I talk about, I asked a young lady the other day, I said, have you ever wrestled a bear? And she said, no. I said, have you ever fought a bear? She said, no. I said, what if it attacked your child? And she said, yeah, I'd fight that bear. So you don't need classes to learn how to fight.
Right.
If you love your child, you will fight for your child. Right. I don't care if a lion, tiger, or bear, or money.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Or food or whatever. But the sad part, and we'll go into this more, I'm sure, is the blatant disadvantage that men face as it relates to, as you're trying to love your child and do for your child, there's this person or this body of people in the middle that, and there's no bridge. It's a moat with sharks in it. You know, so it's hard to get over that. And then after a while, you just, you know, you just kind of back off because it's such an insurmountable fight unless you don't know. So
The reason, and you're right, the reason that I asked that question is because, you know, for some reason people think that a young man, he has a playbook. He's going to know. And see, different than your story, when I first fathered a child, my father was in the home, but we didn't have a good relationship. He wasn't there for me psychologically, emotionally, you know, and so all he was a provider. You know, he didn't talk to me about, you know, protecting myself, doing what to do. So I didn't have that playbook, different than you, because my father was very abusive. And I saw how he treated my sisters when they came home with the child. I was afraid that he was going to just kill me. You know, I'm like, oh, man, this guy, you know, if I come in there telling him, I'm getting ready, he's going to kill me. So I'm facing with that. I'm faced with the embarrassment of having to tell my mother, who I used to always tell my mother, I'm not going to be like my sisters. Okay, I'm not going to have no kids out of wedlock. So here I am, 18 years old, just got out of high school. But here I am.
Right.
So I'm caught between the rock and the hard place, like you said. And so the only thing that I knew to do, plus they had back in those days, there was a judge, and they called him Judge Rose. And they said, you do not want to go before Judge Rose for no reason, because you're going straight to jail. So with that kind of backdrop for me, I ran into the service. I was not running from my responsibility. I was not dissing my son, my child. That wasn't what it was. Mine was running out of fear. Mine was out of fear.
Yeah,
and that's what happens to young guys sometimes. So now you're behind the eight ball because you did something out of emotion. And so then forever you paying for that. You know, you backpedaling. And thank God, you know, I've been able to, you know, live through that and come out of it, you know, with some battle scars, but I come out all right with my children,
yes,
you know.
Sir.
So
yes,
that
sir.
That was one of the reasons, you know. And then the other thing is it's important to think about how old a guy is. Again, if you look at these young guys today and you look at how much information they have, you work with young guys all the time, you look at how much information they have. They don't have a whole lot of information. They still don't know a whole lot about that.
Mm-hmm.
See what I'm saying? So we need to, I think the older guys, we need to come up with some kind of way that we can help begin to educate these guys about the pitfalls of that. It's, you know, when you're out there and you buff and looking good and handsome and whatever, you know, and a young chick, a young lady says, you know, I'm pregnant. You know, first thing is your ego is out there. You know, yeah, I'm a man. I'm a man. You know, well, but what about the responsibilities that go with that? And what happens if you don't marry somebody?
Right.
You know, so Jim, you know, your experience was entirely different.
Yeah.
And so what I would like you to do is then share what you've learned, you know, from listening to some of these young guys that come in and tell you about the hardships and your insight on that.
Yeah. You know, as you were talking, I was thinking, and I looked at, listened to the numbers, 70% of the children born are born in a single-parent home.
Mm-hmm.
I grew up in a time where that was totally different.
Mm-hmm.
When I grew up, daddies were everywhere.
Right.
Fathers were doing fatherly kind of stuff. And I grew up in what they call then the Negro community.
Mm-hmm.
And Negroes had it going on.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So it was supposed to be, and you were supposed to be the father. And I think that the whole piece around child support, it's our child's future, you know, and so if it's not there. But what I've seen today as a result of this breakaway from family unity, they are lost.
Mm-hmm.
They don't know what to do. They don't know what to say. They don't know what to go to. Also, for me, when it happened to me at the age of 17, I had an option, and the option was the military.
Right.
It's like, hey, I'm going to the military. I immediately, you know, got married, but also child support was automatic. You go into the military, they give you a stipend.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't even anything to think about.
Right.
But as you were saying earlier today, they don't do that.
Right.
And for them to take someone who's not paying child support or who's unable to pay child support and take his driver's license.
Right.
Put him in jail.
Right.
You're not trying to help the family by taking the driver's license or put him in jail.
Right.
You are perpetuating the situation, and it's almost by design. You can make him go downtown and work extra 4 hours a night and do something.
Right.
So the system is just totally and completely jacked.
Right.
And whoever came up with that, take the driver's license because they're not paying.
Right. And professional license.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Oh,
hunting license.
Yes. Right. Right.
I talked to a white cat out in the country one night. We was, because I do firearms instructing. And he was like, I was like, are you going to take the class? He said, man, I can't even touch a gun. I said, oh, you got a felony. He said, child support, man.
Wow.
He said, I grew up all my life shooting deer.
Yes.
I can't even hunt to feed my child.
Right.
And I looked at him. I said, see, because we don't know what happens even outside of our community.
Because we think it's just us.
It is, I'm telling you. And so that is real critical. And it's so funny because I don't know who was in the room, but I can about imagine when they came up with this mess, who was in the room. And it's just really sad because, you know, when you look at child support of a child is not just related to money.
Absolutely.
And I mean, I would rather be locked up for not picking my son or daughter up.
Exactly.
Than you know what I'm saying?
Right.
I mean, if you say, Shabazz, if you don't go get your son, we're going to lock you up.
Right.
Lock me up for that. Yeah, I probably do need to be locked up for that.
Right.
But the problem is that when you start talking about money, and you tell me you can take 50 to 60% of my money, Now, his mama, she might grocery shop different than me.
That's right.
My family support system, the village they all lie about.
Right.
You know, it takes a village to what? Lock me up? So if my baby's growing up and me and the mama not together, and let me say this, and I don't mean to, but you said something about the, you know, brothers need to get ourselves together. Right. And we do.
We do, yeah.
But let me say this, and I say this in defense of men, and I do male and female workshops and all that.
Mm-hmm.
The other part is, sisters, stop playing like you got it all together.
Right.
Yeah, that's right.
Now, you laid up with this dude that you knew worked at McDonald's.
Yes, you did.
You had a state job. Now you want 60% of his money because you got pregnant,
right,
as if you was had it all together.
Yeah, right.
I'm special. Well, you are, sister.
Right.
But you wasn't special that night.
You were a willing participant.
You're a willing participant.
Right.
Now, here's the thing. Now, check this. If the woman gets pregnant, now I do not advocate abortion,
right,
but I'm just making a point.
Mm-hmm.
If this woman gets pregnant with my child,
mm-hmm,
and she says, "I'm sorry, I can't have this baby." Well, baby, no, why not? Mm-hmm. But hey, it's my body. Well, it's my baby.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what I think is very interesting, though, she can do that in privacy.
Yeah.
But if I suggest you kill this baby, I'm a girl, can you believe this back? He gon'
right.
Well, look,
right.
I don't want the baby.
Right.
So, but it's okay for you to kill it.
Right.
If it's mine.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But it ain't all right for me to suggest kill. Right. Now, again, I don't
I
suggest
know.
It.
Right.
But my point I'm making is that
excellent.
You laid down with me. You know we wasn't married. You know what was going on. So quit playing like you was all holier than thou.
Right.
And then you get pregnant. And now you don't know if you want to keep the baby or not.
Right.
And if I suggest you not keep it, then I'm a no good man.
Right.
But then you kept the baby. It took me down to child support for something I didn't want.
Right.
But if you didn't want it, you just go suck it out.
Right. Right.
And this is a problem, because why can't I then say, hold on, she wants to get an abortion, I want to go to court.
Right.
You keep my baby there, sign that baby over to me,
right,
when you have it, and
right,
you go on about your business.
Right. Right.
But we don't have a right to do that.
Right.
So we are instantly criminalized.
Right, right, right.
Because right, of what happened in the bedroom, mm-hmm, between me and this woman.
This woman. Right.
And then the child grows up,
yes,
and whatever mama say,
yeah,
goes, because they're not educating anybody how to work in the courts. Child support system is supposed to be for both.
Right,
for the benefit
right
of the child.
Right.
Have you ever been to child support court?
Yes.
Have you noticed that they ain't sitting on your side of the table?
Yes.
So if you're really here for the child, you should be neutral.
Right, on both right sides of the
and
table.
And you should be, I've had one, and my oldest is 30 almost.
Mm.
I had one lady from child support that said, "Mr. Shabazz, you know, this is actually what you can do."
Mm-hmm.
And I said, "Oh, really?"
Mm-hmm.
Fought for my son.
Right. Right.
See, I won then, because right, I kept, but right, why did I have to keep fighting?
Right.
Why not right you tell me, you know, you can get your visitation, you can do a modification.
Right,
right, right.
And,
you know, the thing, my experience, one of the things in my experience that I just thought was just ludicrous is you sit there in the court system and you sit there and you say, okay, the guy's telling you what you got to do. And you say, okay, this is what we come out of it. Okay, I came out with, I had visitation rights.
Mm-hmm.
And I had visitation rights. I was moving out of state. And my visitation rights, I had asked for, I want to be able to see my child in the winter, during the winter break,
right,
school
right
break. And I want to see them in the summer.
Right.
The court says, okay, they put it in the court order. I leave the state. I come back. I get here. The mother don't send the baby.
That's right.
I call. The mother won't let me talk to my baby on the phone.
That's right.
Okay. Now, no, other people don't know that. All they know is you are a single dad, and therefore you must not be doing the right thing.
Absolutely.
You know, so to me, we have to even the playing field, and let's get the story out that all brothers – I haven't met a brother that doesn't want to take care of his child.
I have not met one.
You know,
either.
Now if you ain't got no job, you know, they say, well, just go get any job. That's hard to go work at McDonald's and they take 65-70% of your pay and you ain't got no money. That's hard
yeah
for you to. You say, well, my kid got some. He's able to do something. That's hard on a man